And now to bring us our first message, Deacon of this church, Mr. Howard Marchbanks.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to everybody. Well, welcome to Redlands. It's always great to be out here. After being married for not too many years, my wife Tina and I found ourselves spiritually awakened and called into the Church of God, called into repentance, and led into baptism. That year, 1984, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists had just reset the doomsday clock to 3 minutes before midnight. U.S. and Soviet relations that year had reached a very tense moment in history. The following year, 1985, our local San Bernardino church hosted in downtown Riverside at the Ring Cross Square the Feast of Trumpets. That September day in 1985 was the day after my wife Tina gave birth to our twin sons. That year, our two-week-old sons came with us who had big youthful ideals and kept the Feast of Tabernacles in Pasadena. We didn't stay at home, even with newborn babies. During the next 21 years, we raised and nourished our sons in the ways of life and in the ways of God. But for the next number of years, these 30-year-old men, they've been missing here from church with us, and they have not been keeping our way of life. Why are our sons missing from church services? Why aren't they here anymore? Why have so many of our children taken a different path to living life? Our young people are in a special category. Though not baptized, they are part of the holy nation, the church. They are part of the house of God. Though they are not baptized and converted, they do have special access to the knowledge and the way of God. Parents should actively teach them God's way and help their children develop an understanding and relationship of God. Now, we're going to find some parallels between what I talk about with children. There's parallels with an unconverted mate. There's parallels with adults who have been called and left the church and now who are reawakening. So there are parallels. My story is about my children. Without the influence of converted parents, children in a household are going to be no different than children brought up in a household with non-believers. They are going to live a spiritually unclean life. We are aware of the admonition to raise them with the ways of God. There's a proverb, and you can turn to that now. It's Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It is about spiritual understanding, and it is about physical understanding. When we think about training, we can talk about educating. We can talk about preparedness and getting ready, guiding. And when we're thinking in a way, we're not only talking about the way of God, but we're talking about all types of things. Again, we're talking about spiritual concepts and we're talking about physical concepts. We're talking about preparing them and guiding them about how to pray, about how to study the Bible, about the basics of the Ten Commandments. In physical understanding, I had boys. We had to teach them how to shave. We had to teach them how to drive. We had to teach them about good sleep habits so they could consolidate their memories, their short-term memories, into long-term memories. We had to teach them about cleaning their rooms and work habits and reading. We had to teach them about words and such. So we train up our children in the way that they should go. And what happens? When they're old, they don't depart from it. The habits become part of their character. The goal of parenting is to bring up our children to responsibly enter the adult world, and eventually God's kingdom with a mature, godly perspective. It was important to us to teach our sons how to work and also how to be a good student. I told them when they went to college that college was their work. Studying was their job. When they were growing up, we had an elderly lady friend up in Pasadena. And we would go to her house sometimes, and we would spend Sabbath service with her. And she loved our sons. And one of the things that she taught us about young boys, and this is so smart. This is such good knowledge. A tired boy is a good boy. She grew up on a farm, and she knew that if you tire out your kids when they're young and full of energy, they're not going to get into trouble. Well, many of us, we grew up with teenagers and having worries about our teenagers. Tire them out. Get them into sports. Get them into activities so they come home and they go to bed. And they're not horsing around. Proverbs 10, verse 5 says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son." So indicating that if he is working hard, doing what he needs to do out in the field, he is going to be wise. "But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." So you don't want a lazy bone boy or daughter or kid. You got to show him how to work. Further on, Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." So again, a wise son, a son who you bring up in the ways of God, in the smart ways of the world, the acceptable ways of the world, they're going to be wise. But you're going to have a kid once in a while who's not going to listen to you, who's not going to take instructions from you, who is just going to go his own way. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 21, and let's take a look at that admonition of what we're supposed to do. This is pretty strong. God is the father of us all. So Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. It's about the rebellious son. It says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when has been chastised him, will not heed them." So we've tried to do all the things that have been right. We've talked with them, we spoke with them, and they still don't do what they do. "Then the father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city in the gate of the city, and shall say to the elders, 'See, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice, and he is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Well, certainly we don't want our children to be murdered by the people down on the corner throwing rocks at them. But there is a situation where you are going to have to get a civil service involved. You are going to get elders involved. You are going to get family involved in order to have what they call an intervention. We have a friend, very good friend, son, graduating high school. He's out in the backyard smoking his pot. He's having his parties. 80 kids coming over, having a big old party with alcohol and everything else. Not listening to his parents. Parents are giving him everything. College education, brand new Camaro. He doesn't listen. He won't listen. What do they want to do? They want to get a policeman over there to scare him. Well, you know what? They can't do that anymore because all the policemen are wearing these cameras to where everything is live. You can't even fake the kids out anymore. But that's the idea behind here. You got to get serious with the kids. But now, child rearing during services, what happens? My wife and I were bringing up the boys, and we learned about something, maybe you remember this, called blanket training. Tina would have a blanket for each of the baby at home and some quiet toys for our boys to focus on and occupy their attention. For a few hours during the week at nap time, usually around 2 o'clock, she would sit them down with their toys and they would take their nap. They would learn to be quiet during church services. As they grew up into elementary school, during services, they would quietly draw pictures and such. They would still nap. Like school classrooms, we were pretty strict parents. We did not allow them to get up and down during church services and do stuff because, you know, in school they don't do that. They got to get a hall pass if they're going to go use the facilities. So during church services, they had to sit down. They do their business before or after. It's part of training. Now, I got to kid around about blanket training because it can also train your kids to fall asleep during services when they're teenagers too. So there can be bad stuff to blanket training. So as parents and relatives and brethren, we can teach valuable lessons to these young people about work, about all kinds of stuff. Young people, in general, have a hard time speaking to adults. We need to interact with them so they can speak with adults. So when they go on a job interview when they're 18, 20 years old, they can have a good conversation. So I mentioned being called back in 1984. So when we think about our calling as adults and God calling our children, most times, God is going to be using a different way and a different process between calling us as an adult and calling our children who are developing minds and developing bodies. If you're called as an adult and you're invited to understand God's way, you will accept God's authority in your life. You will surrender to God. You will want to be baptized. You're going to be partaking in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be understanding more and more things. You're going to be preparing for God's kingdom. You're going to be keeping the holy days. You're going to start understanding the plan that goes into being a Christian. And you're going to eventually inherit immortality. But an adult's calling in church is like an abrupt hit in the head. Think about Paul. He saw that bright light in the road. He was blinded. And all of a sudden, he knew Jesus Christ was talking to him. Well, that's how an adult calling can be. Now, a child baptized member has a calling that is gradual and more personal as they grow and mature. Spiritual understanding comes with the physical understanding as they're growing up. So experience shows some young people will grow up in the church and relate and respond favorably to God's way of life, ethics, and morals. Others are just not going to. So what kind of factors are going to come into effect? Influence of peers and friends. Okay, our kids went to public school, so they were going to be influenced by everything out there in public school. Popular culture. I hate punk rock. The kids and spiked hair in 14 and 15 years old, that's what they liked. It was just horrible music. Temperament. Teach them not to be angry. Teach them to be loving and kind. Examples of parents. All right. Here's where I think I made a mistake. Now, this is like I had to come to an idea of what I did wrong here. Okay, so you're training your kids all these things, floss your teeth, brush and everything else. I didn't sit down in their room and get down on my knees and sit down and pray with them every night. I should have been doing that. I told them to pray. I told them, I gave them the Bible, and I told them they needed to read it. I should have been in there seriously showing them how. That's what they need to do. I think that was the big mistake of why they're not here. Everything else seemed to be okay, but they needed that extra push to have that relationship. They needed that introduction on that relationship. So when a calling is not pursued, what happens? We know this. Receiving the Holy Spirit requires repentance. They weren't ready for that. They were going to college, going to school, getting careers. It wasn't on their list of what they wanted to do. They needed to have a knowledge about and obedience to God. They had it, but they weren't ready for that next step. So when we have been made ready for repentance and we're obedient, that leads the converted person to an intensely deep personal relationship. They didn't have that intense feeling and relationship. For many of us, our children had not sufficiently understood God's expectations, and they couldn't make an informed decision. They didn't have enough information. My kids didn't have enough information. They didn't pray enough. They didn't read enough. They didn't have enough information. God can and will continue to work with them. They still have it in their head. I heard it a week or so ago when one of my sons explained to his girlfriend about the Feast of Tabernacles. It's still in there. God's calling is not merely a one-time event, but it's a process. It involves an ongoing interaction between a loving father and his children. And you can think of God the Father, you can think of your father here on earth, however you want to interpret that. Although it's highly ironic, sometimes temporarily rejecting God lays the groundwork for accepting him later. And we've seen that happen. There is an opportunity for salvation, and it's not lost. The goal of parenting is to bring up our children, to train our children in the way they should go so they can responsibly enter the adult world. When they get older, they'll remember their training and rely on it. And eventually, they will see God's kingdom one way or another with a mature and godly perspective.